mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
The best moments of 2018.
Cherish the memories, yahoos.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. In 2018, we gave you the gift of free entertainment. That was absolutely fantastic. It's been hard to parse it down to eight of our great moments. But, Rich, today is our seventh, and what do we got?
This one is self-explanatory, so let's just let it roll.
Oh, but it was a glorious day on Saturday night when you got to tune in. You knew it was going to be special, where before he even came out on stage, after everyone else's speeches, they said Ray Lewis has opted to not use a podium. He's instead going to be using a headset microphone, and that's when you just grab the popcorn and it's on.
So I'm Ray, going to pace the stage.
Ray Lewis made it out on stage, and the crowd, there was a little video they showed beforehand, involved a lot of white suits that were missing, and a lot of blood, and so he came out and was just right away said, "Hey, I'm Ray Lewis. What do you want from me?"
And what people want is me to talk incoherently about how important I am.
That's right. You have it right there for him.
I do have it, and I will get to it this moment.
When God tells you something, believe it.
That's right. God told me, get up here and start talking crazy. God told me, hey, that knife is an extension of your hand. Use it wisely, Ray. God told me, he said, get up here and make an ass of yourself. I'm going to talk for 35 minutes.
It was great, man.
After all these other guys talked, allow me 35 minutes to waste your time completely.
Oh, no, not a waste.
That's it for the Toucher and Rich Show, which is very pleased.
When God tells you something, believe it. Listen to me. No matter the journey, oh, it's too many ups and downs. But boy, when you believe it, 515-75.
That is my lotto number. Can anyone check the iPhone? Did it come through? Powerball, 6. And then 11 tree cloud grass.
8675309.
Don't call that number, though. They've been harassed enough. Squiggly line, then.
Every second.
Squiggly line, then. The teacher and Charlie Brown, when they write what they're saying. Pig pen.
51575.
It's half my phone number.
But boy, when you believe it, 515-75.
That's how much I'll sell this jacket for.
Remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
Yeah, remember the 5 and 7.
That 5's got a bad attitude.
That does.
It's a recurring attitude in this message.
Let her be. Remember that from Sesame Street? Let her be. Also remember the word clown. Because I'll get back to that.
Okay. It's a big market tease.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Do you remember the great song, Peaches and Herb? Did they do reunite?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, I like that song. Remember that, too. And Ray, if I may, remember to buy lettuce and milk.
$5.15.75, my mother had me. We had no other route out.
Oh, that's his birthday?
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's his birthday,
$5.15.75. I thought it was some Bible thing.
No.
That's his birthday. Remember that number. Because it's on all my fake documents. Jesus, he's a couple months younger than me.
Because that woman right there, 5-15-75. You hear me? Yeah. Crazy, right?
Tell you. Yes.
You were born.
Hey.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
I just see him, like, pointing at Shelley Long.
See that woman right there? She was in the show Cheers.
Yes.
Crazy, right?
It is. She came to your Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, this is not the time.
What's Diane doing here?
That's right. Her and Sam. You never knew. It kept you tuned in every week. Sitcom Ray Lewis is back.
Sitcom Ray Lewis? What are you doing, Sitcom?
Look at the great Alex Karros. He's a member of the Hall of Fame, but I remember more of him as the adoptive father of Webster.
Yeah, right, he was on Webster, he was.
And he had the guts and fortitude to marry Madam, even though you could tell Madam might not like boys.
True.
Just shoot it.
It's the name of this.
For real, that's what the guy said. He said, just shoot me, Ray.
But I stabbed him instead.
Well, what you gonna do?
Yeah. Crazy, right? Tell you about numbers, 5-15-75, right? I play 17 years. I go to the University of Miami, right? And I get signed one of the last scholarships ever given.
Ever.
No more scholarships, ever.
Once you sign it, we're done.
That's it.
Remember this. 5-15-75.
5-15-75.
I signed a scholarship at Miami.
Crazy, right?
I'm just remembering things.
I mean, he's 45 seconds in.
I know. I was just going to say, he's just like, this is like the preamble to warming up.
The motorcycle hasn't
35
even,
minutes
hasn't one. Even like cool, like warmed up yet.
Barely turned the engine over.
And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, what was the number you wanted? He said, the last numbers we got.
I said, 5-15-75.
5-15-75.
You give that to me.
No, you can only have two numbers. You can only have two numbers, Ray.
Like I said, 5-15-75. What's the problem?
Crazy, right?
He makes no sense.
Would you like to hear the rest of his sentence?
There's more?
Yes, I would say so. Pick a number.
Q. And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, what was the number you wanted? He said, the last numbers we got is these numbers. And I looked and those numbers was 5 and 2. And I said, give me that 52. He said, why you like 52? I said, because B-Dog, that's God's number. That's completion.
Of course it is. How did I not see that? That's what Randy Shannon said back to him. Of course it is.
We only have two numbers, 5 and 2. Then give me 52. See, that number's not available.
Crazy, right?
Because that's God's number. He sits up on a cloud with a 52 jersey on.
That's right. He's a... Jesus wore on the cross a number 52.
Yeah. Well, I remember they were used to play back when Jesus was leading everyone. They would play flag football. And Jesus always said, give me 52.
B-Dog, that's God's number. I played 17 years. I leave 17 years. I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted and go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else. Man, God.
I'm getting my calculator out of it.
What is it?
I played 14 seasons. I was born in 1975. Then on March 8th, I ate at the Golden Corral. 3-8.
5-15-75.
Crazy, that's right? Number. I mean, that's nuts.
Crazy, right?
I mean, there's so many numbers there. It's crazy. That was when I was on The Price is Right. I was playing Plinko. That toaster's 5-15-75.
Is this Game Show Ray Lewis?
Game Show Ray Lewis. Those jokers are wild.
I'll tell you what. Then I go and play Plinko, and everything comes up rain. I was in the Showcase Showdown.
Were you James Joe Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a trailer and a jet ski in a living room set.
Yeah, right. And what did you bid on?
515.75. Oh, that crazy climbing guy's going, don't fall, fool. Don't fall. 515.75, 52, 17. All right. Don't fall.
Crazy, right?
How much for the toothpaste, God. Ray? $1,572.
I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else. Man, God, something else. God, something else. Numbers, numbers, numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change.
Numbers. Numbers.
And then he turns to his family.
There's nothing in life that I will not sacrifice for my babies. My first son, Ray the Third, Rashad, Diamond, Rasan, Raylan, Raven, KK. And what I love the most is our relationship. Because I told you the greatest thing I can give you as a father is the truth. What I didn't have, the touches and the hugs and the kisses that I give you, I never had that. I never had a father physically touch me and tell me he loved me. That's why I hug you guys so much. That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
He's talking about kids, so I'll leave that one.
All four kids, by the way.
They're all grown.
I know. All four kids are looking at him. They're all shaking their heads going,
as soon as he's like, get that camera off me.
Nope. I want no part of this.
Yeah, I just.
That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
All four kids are like, oh, get me out of here.
Now come up on stage one at a time and let daddy give you a smooch.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Baltimore. 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 Baltimore.
I think the Raybot 2000 just shut down.
That's right. It's a glitch.
That's right.
I remember that. 515.75.
That's right.
The greatest visionary ever. The greatest visionary ever to me was Art Modell.
Oh, Jesus.
He was like Kreskin. He could take a pack of cards and he'd say, look at the card, don't show it to me. Then I would say, I'll take the 5, the 15, and the 7 and the 5.
515.75.
And every time he could produce it, he would take two rings and he'd say, Ray, try to get him apart. And I'd say, Art, I can't do it. And then Art Modell would take him. And voila. He could separate him.
And he magically removed an NFL franchise from one city in the middle of the night and moved it to another. A visionary.
Hey, people of Ohio, where I'm speaking, in Canton. Art Modell's the best. Remember when he took your team?
I just heard that. It's like, of all the people you're going to mention tonight as the biggest visionary, I don't think that really comes across.
No, I'm in Canton, Ohio. Hey.
This team taught me grown man football. That's what 2000 taught me. But I tell you, there was a moment in my life, and I want to kind of get to this moment. There's a moment. My guy, Rex.
Okay, so right here, they're showing Rex Ryan's face.
And he's just like, oh, boy.
It's like, my guy, Rex. He goes, there's something I want to talk about. And I think that everyone knows kind of what's coming. And he goes, my guy, Rex. They show Rex Ryan's face as he's about to launch into this. And it's like,
he's mortified.
Of all the people to put the camera on, he's thinking, why did you put it on me when he's going to talk about this?
Yeah, he's mortified.
And it stayed on him for like 30 seconds.
He's like, oh, boy.
And everyone else in the organization is going, please don't mention my name.
Yes, please don't talk to
him. Don't say my name.
1999, 2001 may have been some of the darkest moments of my life.
But Rex Ryan enabled me. Rex Ryan, you were someone who helped snatch my jacket.
But I tell you something. When God says, can you hear me now? He sends you a family
of Verizon phones. Can you hear me now? When you're in trouble, just remember, just do it. I tried to call the police, but they said, can you hear me now? And I said, no, I don't have enough bars. I can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now? He sends you a family to make sure you're okay while you're going through what you're going through. What you did for me, what my Atlanta family did for me, Mona Lisa, listen to me. What y'all did for me, Steve Asciotti. What you believed in me
and kept letting me play and make money.
Steve Asciotti's like, God, why'd you mention me?
You didn't suspend me or say two words to me because I was good at football. You let it all help me sweep it all under the rug.
By the way, what you're about to play, not edited. Not edited.
All right.
What you believed in me? Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps. What? What? How many times, man, you sat in the same house looking at each other? What we said, Baltimore is our city.
Hang on. So he's in the middle of talking about, like, when he was in trouble for murder. And he goes,
right.
What you guys did for me during that dark time? Michael Phelps, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Florence Henderson.
I mean, just like,
what you believed in me? Michael Phelps.
All right. All right. So the numbers in Rich has been obsessing over what he could mean.
I just couldn't get it out of my head. And once again, indulge me because I came in this morning and I just had to get it out of my head and put it onto the computer. And this is what it came out with.
That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
And now that's going to be in your head all day, just like it was mine.
Yep.
It's going to be stuck there, and it will not leave.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich will be joined by Mike Gorman in a matter of moments. Rich, what is going on?
Well, this was interesting news that came out yesterday. So after the two recreational marijuana shops opened in Massachusetts, the one in Leicester and the other one in Northampton, there are all these stories that were coming out about just how much money that they've made. I think in the first week combined, the two of them made like over $2 million, which is utterly ridiculous. And the lines are still down the street. I believe at the Leicester one, I saw a story on this just the other day. The lines have gone down, obviously, from what they were, but it's still like an hour and a half to get in. You're sitting there waiting for a while in order to get in there and buy your recreational marijuana. Well, it's funny how this is going to happen over the next, I don't know, year or so. But out of nowhere, they're going to announce the openings of brand new ones. And it's going to be like, hey, it's open in like 3 days, like they did yesterday. So apparently this Saturday, the recreational marijuana dispensary is going to open in Salem. Now, I think it was one of the first ones in the state to actually sell medical marijuana once that was legalized. But that opens up on Saturday. However, the city said, we don't want the cluster F that's been happening in Leicester and Northampton with all of these cars down the street and all these people getting bogged down in these annex lots with buses having to be taken there. We don't want any of that. So you know what they decided to do? Take reservations. As a matter of fact, the only way that you can get recreational marijuana there now is to go to their website and actually set up a reservation to go. So next week, I've got a reservation to go to the Salem Pot Shop.
Yeah, they're sold out. I was reading, they're sold out this Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, the earliest I could get in was next week to get in for that. But I went, like, the selection's, like, not quite as cool as the other one. I don't know the difference between one or the other, but they don't, packages don't look as cool.
So this, you're going to go get your edibles. Joints. This is it right here?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I have a reservation. So they do sell the edibles there. And, I mean, whether or not that's what I end up buying, you know, Fred was telling me that from what he knows, that's not been a very good experience.
No, Saturday was a bad experience.
So you did some edibles on Saturday?
Yep.
And what was the, now was it not a good experience? Because like many people say, is the biggest fault is that you take it and you don't think it's working. So you take another one and then all of a sudden it hits you just like a freight train.
No, I became convinced that no one else had taken theirs. And then I was exceptionally paranoid. And so I went to bed at 8.
Because you're paranoid?
Paranoid that you were not in on a joke somehow. And everyone just let you do it and that's it.
Yep. That's what happened.
So you walked upstairs and like, screw all you guys.
No. Everyone knew that I was not having a good time.
But you don't, like you said that weed doesn't, like you always get paranoid when you smoke weed, right?
Like half the time. So it's not really worth it. But I was told yesterday to get 10% the pen, which is 10% THC and then 90% CBD. So that will be my last gas.
Is that like marijuana light?
CBD is a non-psychotic, and then the THC is what gets you high. So if you, CBD is something that you can use for pain, and CBD is legal. I mean, you don't have to. Bird, why are you in here?
Because I asked him to come in.
Okay, so yeah, CBD, you can, it's not illegal. I mean, you can buy it at a store, not a marijuana store. So it's supposed to help with pain and like kind of mellow you out, help you sleep, but then it's no fun. So you get a little bit of THC in there and you're supposed to have it be better. And then in California, they have these pens where it beeps like when that's the dose. Like so if you get edibles, have fun. All right. Yes, Bird.
So Bird on the Dude and Bird podcast, which I listened to the hour and a half of it that was on there. there was actually one interesting, because of course they're going to talk about the weed shops being open, seeing that it sounds like Dude might be an expert already. They were using terms I've never heard of before. Oh, here's the one thing I got out of it. They're ripping you off. That's the one thing I do know. Now, Bird told a story of something that happened recently. And I thought it was fairly interesting. Now, my faith that he's going to tell this competently is at a minimum. However.
So a couple of years ago, I'm working at an event. And we're at the end of the event. And my coworker goes, hey, I have these edibles. Do you want one? I'm like, yeah, sure. It's the end of the event. I'm like, whatever. I'll be fine. I take it. And my boss comes up to me and goes, hey, do you mind escorting the, celebrities to their
limo? It was
limo.
A very large band.
Yes.
Which they wanted Bird to be security and walk them from the venue out to where their Hummer was.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so you've already taken your edibles.
Yep.
Now, when did you take them? Like 30 minutes before this?
Yes. Yeah. The event ended and I popped it. I'm like, whatever. I had nothing to worry about.
And
you were
supposed to leave. And then you said, no, I need you to do an extra job for me.
Okay. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So they're talking to me. We're talking back and forth. And I'm talking to them. And I start talking like this. And it just hit me. He's like, you're all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm
so
great.
As you're walking them out to their Hummer, it just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yes.
And next thing you know, they're making fun of you.
Yep.
They're sitting there, and you can't, and you're completely incompetent.
Yeah, I was just talking slowly. He's like, hey, good luck at your next show. And, hope you guys have a great
and you try
time
to get
in Boston.
The Hummer, and you try to get in the Hummer with them?
Yeah, basically. Where are we going?
That doesn't sound real. I don't believe you.
It's real.
Nope. You didn't try to get in the Hummer.
All right.
Okay. Marijuana wouldn't have that effect on you where you tried
no,
to...
No, I was just slow. Just...
And as opposed to what? When you're lightning quick? I don't believe that story.
All right. You don't have to believe
I believe
the
you
pot.
Took it edible.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that you walked the band out.
Yeah.
And I believe that they made fun of you. I don't think it probably had much to do with the marijuana. And then I don't believe you tried to get in that Hummer.
Okay. That's fine. Everything else is true.
Okay, but you'll admit you didn't try to get in the Hummer.
No. I mean, I was at the door. I looked in.
Yeah, you didn't try.
No, I actually said, and you tried to get in the Hummer. I was joking. That was being sarcastic. And you tried to get in the Hummer. That was me adding that on there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Rich, please take edibles. So look forward to hearing about your
I just think that was a brilliant idea, as they said, for now, we're just going to take reservations. And that's the only way they're going to turn people away. So that way it's not a cluster F like you've had in the other two cities.
Can I please be with you when you take it?
No. I'm just going to, I want to just kind of be in a place where I'm
happy,
just kind of chill. And I have nowhere place to be and no responsibilities. And I've got about 6-7 hours on my
hand. Please send Nick up there over Halloween next year.
What's that?
Please send Nick up to Salem at that shop right around Halloween.
Oh, well, that's Salem's just a nightmare. People. The whole month of October. It's like Salem is a beautiful place.
Up until those three weeks.
If I never went there in October, I'd be happy.
Yeah. Send Nick up to interview people in October right around the dispensary.
Which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it. Get your reservation up there in Salem. And your first time consuming marijuana, I would suggest not taking edibles. But, hey, to each his own. Don't listen to me. There's no reason to. I would take a vape pen and I would take a hit, and then I would sit around and see how I was doing. And then I would, if I could monitor it, if I wanted to have more, I could. With an edible, it's kind of on for the ride. It is what it is. And that's not a good idea.
So you want Rich to ease in. Rich wants to, like, jump on board a moving train.
I don't think Rich knows anything about marijuana, and I think
Which is 100% true.
Right, and so I'm just giving him suggestions.
I just don't want to smoke it. Like, I don't want to get a pre-rolled joint.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't blame you. So, I would just get a pen and oil and do it that way, but who am I? You might love it. Saturday was no bueno for my team. No fun. And I had a guy sitting next to me, and he was telling me about every time he freaked out smoking, and it was not helping.
Did they admit that they were tricking you and you were the only one who took it?
No, they had all taken it.
Because that would have been kind of funny.
No.
If your paranoia was right.
That would not be funny at all. No, they all knew. In fact, someone said, I'll double up. And I was like, oh, thank you.
I can tell you overwhelmingly on the Twitch feed, they're agreeing with Fred. Do not have edibles first time.
Sure. And I probably won't. I mean, I'll buy some. But
listen, if you freak out, it's not like you're going to die. It lasts for a while and then it goes away. I mean, I was able to go to sleep. And it was probably the best thing for me because I heard everyone else was up very, very late. All right. We will talk to Mike Gorman in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ogilvy finds Smart. Tatum, along the baseline, couldn't find room. Now goes the other way, opts for the fall away, and knocks it down.
He's going to second, third option, and is getting off a good shot. He's so calm and poised out there. Finally.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Celtics on a streak. They won a game a couple days ago.
The one clip I would love to hear, I wish we had, was rejected by Robert Williams by Mr. Mike Gorman.
Yeah.
It happened twice against Anthony Davis. And I don't know how many players in the NBA can pull one of those off, much less two in a game.
Well, listen, he's a future Hall of Famer. There's no question about
hey,
it.
Hey, say what you will. That was exciting. That was
fun to watch.
Unexpected, yeah. And exciting.
And I won't
downplay it. That was cool to see.
Listen, he can jump high. He has the ability to score within a foot of the basket.
Yeah,
the
scoring great defensive part. Player that has no offensive game. He has come exactly as advertised.
I don't think that's why they got him, was for his scoring ability. Yeah. But nonetheless,
you,
I mean,
you put him in, you give him a nice, clean 5 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And there you have it. Mike Gorman, are we looking at the future when we see this kid?
I think he's a big part of the future, yeah. It's easy to get carried away off those couple of plays he made against Anthony Davis the other night. But, I think Robert Williams is going to be a big part of the Celtics' future. As I think John just pointed out, he doesn't have any offensive game at the moment. But defensively, he's very good. He's tremendously athletic. I mean, you sit there and watch him run up and down the floor, and he beats guards up and down the floor when he feels like it. You combine that with a guy like Tice, and I think you'll see that second unit now really start to take on its own identity.
Well, my understanding is that in the league, though, and even in youth basketball, which is a little frustrating, there are that big men are able to handle the ball. They're able to shoot with range.
Shoot
able,
threes. Yeah, you know, they're all expected to be 3-point
That's
shooters.
That's not Robert Williams.
No, I know. But so I'm wondering how he becomes a big part of this team if he is really just one-dimensional.
Well, one of the reasons the Celtics have had their recent success is you can't have five guys on the court who have to have the ball in their hands. And right. So when the Celtics put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, suddenly you only had four guys who needed to have the ball in their hands. And everybody was a little bit happier, and Marcus just goes out and does Marcus Smart type of things. So Williams can be that kind of player. Early in his career, the kid's just barely 20 years old, so it's not to say that he won't develop an offensive game in time. But right now his defensive skills are such and his shot-blocking skills are such that if he just goes out there and does that, that's all they're really looking for.
Well, during the six-game winning streak, I mean, the team has looked phenomenal. They're ranked first in a million categories that Sean Grandy tweeted out the other day.
We should ask if Mike knows what that means.
True shooting.
There was one that like was a
true shooting
calculus problem.
It was true shooting. Do you know what that means, Mike Gorman?
True shooting?
Yes.
No, I pay no attention to
good.
That.
Yeah, neither good. Do yeah. we. Good. No, thank you good. Very much.
I'm proud of you.
But the thing that is tough, I mean, it seems like they've figured things out. And I love the win the other day when it was like, you know, the scraps of the Celtics and with a big win against Anthony Davis. However, none of these teams during that streak are over 500. How much of it do you believe is that the Celtics have started to right the ship and figure out who needs to be where, who's starting, who's off the bench, and how much of it is the competition that they've gone against?
Well, there's a little of both in there. Let's take it one at a time. I think it's very important. If you're going to be a good basketball team, I'll give you a crazy stat that is pretty simple. It's not true this or effective this or whatever. Before they hit this little two-game skid this week, Toronto in their last 49 games against teams 500 or less were 47-2. So what you got to do to be a good team in this league is you got to beat the teams that are bad. You got to pound them. And the Celtics weren't doing that. The Celtics, up until about a week ago, were, I think, 5-5 against teams 500 or less. So one of the things that they, when you say the teams in this win streak haven't been that good, that's okay because the Celtics are doing what they're supposed to do. They're beating them, and they're beating them by large margins. They're not winning close games. They're winning by double digits all the time. So I do think the Celtics have solved their chemistry problems. I hope they just stick with this now no matter what, because I think with Brown, Hayward, Rozier coming off the bench, those are three guys who can feast on the second-team players of the other team. And with Morris and Smart in the starting lineup, again, you have a guy in Marcus Smart who doesn't need the ball to be successful. And Morris is having an outstanding year and is an offensive player of note now in this league. So I think they've found the right combinations. I think they're going to stick with them for a while now. They got six of the next eight games at home. And they're really not that far back at Toronto. I think they're only like three in the loss column, something like that. So I think the Celtics are in pretty good shape. And frankly, they've come together a little faster than I thought they would. Because I think this is the lineup now, and this is the rotation now we're going to see for the rest of the year.
Mike, talk to me about Al Horford a little bit. I'm becoming not worried, but increasingly concerned about that knee, which the Celtics seem to need him to rest one out of every five games. How bad is it? Is it something that's going to heal by season's end?
You know, that's a great question, John. As far as the healing goes, I don't know if that's necessarily true when you're at this point in his basketball career that Al is at. I think you get things like that you just have to play with for the rest of your career. I think they're being overly cautious with him, and I don't mean that as a criticism. I think that's a good thing to do. They want Al Horford to be able to give them 100% in April and May, not necessarily in December and January. So I think you'll see him get a lot of days off as we roll on through the season here. I think guys like Williams will get to play more, Tice will get to play more, and they'll continue to develop their bench. The Celtics aren't going to win an NBA championship without Al Horford playing well. So I think that's the goal. They're thinking much more springtime than they are right now, and they'll be cautious with him. But to directly answer your question, I do think when you're at Al's point in his career, there are certain injuries that you're just going to have for the rest of your career because you've got a lot of mileage on that truck.
Mike, how's Tommy? We missed him the other night.
Yeah, Tommy's got a bad case of the flu that's going around, and he keeps trying to. I keep talking to him in the morning of games, and he's like, "I think I got it beat." And then as the day wears on, it gets a little worse. So he's just trying to get himself well again. He may do the studio work tonight, and hopefully he'll be back for this again. We've got six of eight at home, so hopefully we'll get him back and doing some games pretty soon. But I talked to him the other day, and at 9:30 in the morning, and he was like, "I'll see you tonight, but yeah, I'm there. We're back together again." And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he could barely move. So, again, he's fighting the flu. You know, Tommy's 84 years old. So when you get a case of the flu at that age, it can be a little more debilitating than when you and I might get it, Fred.
Does he
and I are close to the same age.
Yeah, at least in terms of visually, we do look very similar. Now, what happens if you got to go to the bathroom during the game? Like, say you got the stomach flu and you got diarrhea all over the place.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, hopefully if diarrhea all over the place, you go and you don't come back. But
you got to be a trooper.
You can get up during the game and, Tommy's good again for a guy his age. He just comes out there at about 7 o'clock and he sits down at the table and he's there. He doesn't move. Doesn't move at halftime. Doesn't go anywhere.
Does he have a jug?
Does he what?
Have a jug? I mean, he's out of an age.
Does he have a jug? Depends.
That's
the bottle you always see when you get in a cab that looks like it's apple juice?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. You can't take time off the meter. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, does he have like one of those Kingmaker deals where he can just like pick and choose if he wants to work a game or if he doesn't now?
Oh, Tommy can do it every once.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
That's fine with the Celtics, and it's fine with NBC Sports Boston. Tommy cherry picks his schedule. He goes to the games he wants to go to. He wants to go to every game, though. That's the thing. I mean, he doesn't want to travel anymore. We've established that fact. But as far as home games, I mean, he really wants to be at every game. Basketball is a big part of how Tommy defines himself. So, he needs to be at games, and he'll be back soon. I guarantee that.
Okay, Mike, we were listening or actually watching the program. I forget it was the last game you guys did or the game before last where you were discussing the final play and Brian Scalabrine was talking with you about listening to the radio station and hearing the final play of the Patriots game. And he referred to this program as that morning show instead of Toucher and Rich. I'm wondering what the situation was there and did you correct him?
I didn't catch that morning show. I must have been doing something else while he was talking about that. But
you don't listen to Scal anyway.
That morning show?
Is there a directive from NBC Sports Boston to not mention the name of this show?
No, absolutely not. If it has, it hasn't reached me. And if it does reach me, it'll end up in a trash can. So.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Why would we not say Touch and Rich?
I don't know. It's so weird over there. I don't know what's going on. Very strange.
I've been fortunate in 38 years, or however long I've been doing this, that nobody's ever really said to me what you can say and what you can't say. So I don't think we're going to start now. It's a little too late in the career to start doing that now.
All right. Well, Mike Gorman, enjoy.
Watch out for those edibles, Fred. Watch out for those edibles.
There had to be a time in your life where you were partook in the marijuana.
Mike? Oh, did I lose the connection there for a second?
It's legal now, Mike. Come on.
No, but I mean, as a youth, I'm not saying today. I mean, you're a man of great.
I participated in the '60s. How's that sound?
That's right. That's good.
I was my neighbor, and this is the real quick. My neighbor is a cool guy. He's in his 60s, and we went out to dinner with him and some friends, and he had on his phone the cover of the Daily News, and it was like hippies invade Woodstock, and he was one of the guys, and his parents didn't know he went to Woodstock.
Oh, really?
And so when his dad bought like every Daily News he could find, so no one would find out that he was there.
You know what? It's kind of interesting. I've seen a couple of news clips on the store up in Northampton with the lines and everything, and the demographics of the people in the lines are all over the place.
It is, yeah, it's true.
Rich said it would be a big deal, and I was like, no, and then he was absolutely correct. I had no idea. I mean, there's so many ways to legally obtain marijuana. I don't know why people are waiting for an hour and a half, but Rich was right. I mean, there is a market for it, and I didn't think there would be, but shows what I know.
These shops are printing money, right?
Yeah. Those shops together, the two of them made over $2 million in the first week alone.
Well, I was in L.A. earlier this year, and, I mean, people were smoking out like before you went into the airport, like curbside. They do that in Boston Common anyway.
They've been doing that for years.
They're
having real problems up in Canada. They can't get it fast enough.
Yeah, they're running out.
Because I follow it pretty closely because there's stock. There's a couple of stocks that are have done very well lately.
Yeah, the Canadian ones are.
I would caution you to keep an eye on those and maybe try to get out on top because.
You have to trade them. There's no question about it. No, it's not a long-term investment, but CGC is a Canopy Growth Company. Came public at about three, and it got to 50, and it's now at 30.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, so did you get out?
I've been in and out. I'm like a revolving door. Okay.
Well, you're playing the market.
I like to trade the market. That's my advice.
Well, good. It's a good thing to do. All right. Well, Mr. Gorman, a man of finance and world travel, thank you so much for the time. We look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. See you soon.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.